The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Plus, get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
New York is the city that never sleeps, and neither does Sal Licata. From Flushing in the Bronx to the Meadowlands in MSG, Sal sounds off on the biggest sports news of the day. Welcome to WFAN Daily with Sal Licata.
Hello and welcome to another edition of WFAN Daily. What a night it was on Wednesday night, as I record this fresh after the Mets just lost the game in a way that only the Mets can do. We'll get to them in a second. You got to start here with the Yankees, an incredible win for them. Maybe not incredible, that's the wrong word to use, but an impressive win, a nice, tidy 2-0 win. Oswaldo Cabrera, who outside of Juan Soto has been their most impactful player. I mean, you look at what Soto's done. He's been a machine. We expected him to be an MVP. But Oswaldo Cabrera has been the Yankees' second-best player and most impactful player. And without him, they wouldn't be anywhere near their 20 wins this year. So first team in the American League to get to 20 wins. They do it tonight with a two-run homer by Cabrera against Corbin Burns, beating the Orioles ace and finally getting on the board in this series. And that's just a good win. Now, look, we're not going to make too big a deal about this series one way or another unless there was a sweep. And the Yankees avoided that with getting the win in the third game of the series, and now take on the Orioles in game four, looking for the split in the afternoon game, and then no blood would be drawn, and then we could all move on. But I still have questions about the Yankee offense. It's way too inconsistent, even with the win, even with Cabrera, you know, being what he's been. It's really been two players for the most part. It has been Soto, it has been Cabrera. Now, the pitching, you got to give them credit, and specifically on Wednesday night, Clay Holmes deserves a ton of credit. Aaron Boone going to him for a five-out save, getting in trouble in the eighth inning, you know, with guys on. Holmes comes in, slams the door, and then does the job in the ninth inning. To a point where I'm somebody that has doubted Clay Holmes, but that was such an impressive outing that maybe I start, you know, maybe starts earning a little more trust here. Maybe I start to let my doubts go with him. I still need to see it in the postseason in a big spot. He's been too playing with fire too much for my liking. And I get that we always compare everybody to Mariano, especially for the Yankees, and it's not going to be that way. You know, we saw Chapman get beat, and the Yankees closers, whoever it may be, since Mariano, it's not ever going to be that dominant that often. But Clay Holmes has been really good, and maybe to a point where he's even underrated because he lets some guys on or because it's not as dominant as you would think. Well, it was a dominant performance on Wednesday night against the Orioles, and Clay Holmes is starting to earn even more trust, even for the doubters like myself. Five-out save, impressive job. Now, you likely won't be available in the afternoon game on Thursday, but Aaron Boone will have to work through that as the Yanks will be looking to salvage a split. Starting May off on the right foot here, getting a win back in the win column after dropping the first two of that series in Baltimore. As for the Mets, I'm not even going to get caught up in the results of the game. It doesn't matter. I mean, they lost the game. And I say it doesn't matter, meaning that this is what they're going to do. They're going to win some. They're going to lose some. They're a 500 team. So up and down, every night. You don't want to overreact. The only reason why the Yankees is even more relevant to react to is because of they're playing the Orioles. This is a series that early on can be a little bit of a barometer.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Plus, get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
With the Mets, they're playing the Cubs, ho-hum series, whatever. The offense, lifeless again. You know, Nimmo getting a breather. Lindor had to leave the game early with the flu-like symptoms. Mets not able to score any runs. And then the ninth inning comes around. And by the way, good pitching by the Mets as well. Jose Buto has been very good this year. But, you know, the Mets keep themselves in a game, 1-0 game. You give them credit, the pitching staff. And then the ninth inning, Alonso gets hit by a pitch. And you have finally a real bat. That was the number one takeaway I would have from this one, if I'm looking for positives from the Mets, is that you get Alonso who gets drilled. And whether it was on purpose or not, who knows? Neris is an idiot, though, this guy with the Cubs. I mean, he's always running his mouth. Him and Alonso, I guess, had issues the other day. They alluded to that on the broadcast. Then Pete, the first pitch, when you're looking for Pete to hit a game-tying solo home run, it's the Mets' only chance. He gets drilled up and in on the wrist or arm. And he gave a little bit of a look to Neris, too, as he was going down to first base. Nothing happened. Then the thing that I love about it was, you know, after Pete gets drilled, instead of having some lifeless, you know, unproven stick behind him in the lineup, it's J.D. Martinez. And the way you get retribution is to square one up and hammer it. And that's exactly what J.D. Martinez did, ripping it off the wall. Actually, Pete Crow Armstrong should have made the catch. He didn't. It would have been a terrific play, but he should have made that terrific play. Hits off his glove, turns into a double. Martinez and Alonso, second and third. What could go wrong, right? One out, second and third for the Mets. Jeff McNeil is up, who's done nothing this year, and a guy that I told you I want to trade for a long time. Hits what could have been a sac fly. Then there's a play at the plate. Alonso, for some godforsaken reason, goes headfirst home, which, okay, is fine, although you could get injured. It's not a smart way. And I don't think the catcher blocked the plate, but they reviewed that. But Alonso's arm got in between the legs of the catcher toward home plate before the ball was caught and a tag was placed on Alonso. However, Pete, for some reason, which I don't think I've ever seen this before, his left hand, right as it was about to touch home plate, lifted up. What are you lifting your hand up for? Keep it on the ground, flat. This is not second base. Keep the hand on the plate, on the ground. I've never seen that. Everybody who slides into home head first, they do it. They have their hand flat on the dirt, sliding across home plate. Had Pete done that, he would have been safe and it would have been a tie game. Instead, the umpire, who, by the way, I don't know what he was looking at, he calls him out. And in reality, the ump should have called him safe, even though the ump got lucky. And you could technically say that Pete was out. And after the review, of course, they upheld the call. No catcher blocking the plate, and Pete was confirmed out. It was really a tie between when Pete's hand actually came down and touched the plate and when the catcher put the tag on him. It was really a tie. So because he was called out on the field, there's no way you could overturn that. Understood. However, watching it with the naked eye, Alonso's arm clearly beat the throw and the tag. So I don't know where the ump got off. He actually made the wrong call on the field, but got lucky that replay showed Alonso's hand coming up. I still don't understand what the heck is going on with that. How does your hand, if you're sliding into home plate, why would your hand come up? It's a game of inches, and the Mets lost by inches. And now, look, it would have only tied the game. Who knows how the rest of it would have played out here, but they lose a heartbreaker. All right, now, not that we would save the main event for the end, but in this case, we do. As you listen to this on Thursday morning, it is now game six. And while I looked at game four as a swing game, while I looked at game five as a choke job, an incredibly disappointing performance by the Knicks, erase it. It's game six in Philly, and this is now, as opposed to a game four swing game, this is now a legacy game. This has got to be the game where Jalen Brunson stops, I don't want to say stops the bleeding, but stops any possibility, any thought, any threat of Philly taking the series back to New York for a game seven on Saturday night. This is a legacy game. There's only one guy on the Knicks who can have that type of game. It's Brunson. We saw Maxey have the Maxey game. We saw Embiid go for 50 in game three. And we saw Brunson light it up for 47 in game four. Well, the Sixers have two stars, and each of them had their games. The Knicks have one star. That means he's got to have two games. This is a night where Jalen Brunson has to come out, guns a-blazing, firing right from the get-go, efficient, energetic, active, attacking the rim, getting to the line, knocking down the threes, making the smart decision, all of the above, not turning the ball over, and I think you're going to get it. I think Brunson was not only disappointed, not only angered with the Game 5 performance and result, I think he was embarrassed. And generally, when superstars are embarrassed, they respond in a big way. I'm not saying the Knicks couldn't win a Game 7. I'm saying I don't want to see a Game 7 because it would give Philly too much life and too much hope. And you saw the Knicks choke in Game 5. I don't know how they'd handle the pressure in the ultimate Game 7. And you're playing with fire when you get two stars on the other side in Embiid and Maxey. That is a winner take all Game 7 elimination game where they have two superstars to your one. That's not a spot you want to be in. Philly's going to be under some pressure here. They're still down 3-2. They got to win the game to even the series and get it back to New York. They're at home. Yeah, they may get the benefit of the whistle. They're going to be feeling the pressure of that crowd. That crowd doesn't want to be disappointed yet again, especially after that thrilling comeback win in Game 5. This is going to be on one guy. Obviously, it takes a team effort, and the Knicks are going to, at some point, need somebody else to hit some shots, whether it's Hart, whether it's DiVincenzo, whether it's Anunoby, whether it's McBride. They're going to need somebody else to hit some shots. But ultimately, this is a legacy game for Jalen Brunson. He's a superstar. He's clearly the best player the Knicks have had since Patrick Ewing. Some would say he's been more impactful than Patrick Ewing. I'm not going to go that far just yet. But this is a legacy game for Brunson, a chance to cement this series on the road, move on to round two in what has been a terrific year for the number two seed in the Eastern Conference, the New York Knicks. It's got to be on their superstar. He's proven he's a superstar, but legacies are made in the postseason. He's already an all-time great Knick, already in just a couple of years here. Think about the amount of success he's had in such a short period of time. So he's already an all-time great Knick. It's a legacy game for Brunson. Put this another notch in his belt as he continues to move up the ladder as far as all-time great Knicks, historic performances, historic players in franchise history. This is a big one for Brunson, and I think he's going to deliver. Now, what's the exact point total? Does he need 50? No. He need 35, 40? I think so. Brunson, it's going to take an efficient 35 to 40 from Brunson to finally put an end to the Philadelphia 76ers. Send them into the offseason with a hobbled Embiid, with uncertainty moving forward. Let them go backwards as far as getting into the semis every year and falling short. This year would be the first round and out. And that's what happens if you have a regular season that's subpar. And I know Embiid was out the most of it still. Knicks need to send the Sixers home in Game 6. End it now. Move on from Game 5 now. Otherwise, the pressure continues to build. The doubt creeps in. And you could have yourself another performance like Game 5 in Game 7 if you're not careful. And you leave it in the hands of two superstars versus your one. Very dangerous and a winner-take-all. Knicks still have the momentum. Knicks still have the upper hand. It's time for Jalen Brunson to further his legacy, cement it with a Game 6 performance similar to what we saw in Game 4. That does it for this edition of WFAN Daily. We'll be back again tomorrow with a fresh new one for you, reacting live after Game 6 in Philadelphia. You can check it out on the WFAN YouTube page and also download, rate, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. WFANDaily@gmail.com. If you want to hit me up, we'll answer your questions and comments on an upcoming mailbag episode. We'll see you later.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us, listen to the Powers That Be, wherever you get your podcasts.